This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Hallelujah. Bishop Ron Scott is the founding bishop of Kingdom Coalition International, a global network of ministers and ministries touching the lives of multitude and impacting their generations. As an apostle, bridge builder, mentor, and spiritual father for over two decades, this servant of the Lord is focused on restoring covenant relationships and establishing divine spiritual authority in the body of Christ. He is a respected man of God, both in the local church setting and on a national and international platform. While in demand as a conference speaker around the world, Bishop Scott has disciplined and regulated his schedule so that he can give quality attention to cultivating his vision to raise up a new generation of leadership to reach their world. He always has the goal before him to help everyone to maturity in Christ. If he can help others achieve their destiny in God, he is fulfilled in his own purpose. Determined to remove every restricting and hindering limitation on the body of Christ, Bishop Scott is relentless in reaching, raising, and releasing a people who will change the world and liberate the church. He has been called the preacher of all preachers. Hallelujah. There is one guarantee. Listen to one message and you will be changed forever. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, welcome Bishop Ron Scott. Woo!
Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Come on and praise him, somebody. Bless the Lord. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Give God a praise offering in the house. Lift every voice. Open your mouth and give him a sacrifice of praise from the fruit of your lips. Somebody just holler unto the Lord. Hey! Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. We thank God for you. We thank God for this house. We thank God for what God's doing. Amen. If you're going to stick around here, you got to learn how to pack light and move fast, because we're a church going somewhere. Amen. Look at them and say, we're moving, baby. Yeah, this is just one step along the way. We're on the way. Amen. And so I'm thankful for this house. Thankful for everyone that served this weekend. Just awesome. Go all over the world, but there's places that you go. And when you step into it, you just know it's a house that is a house of excellence just because of how they operate. And so I thank God that every person that has served this week, just with the spirit of hospitality that you have given, it just speaks of you. And it's just awesome. And not only that, but it speaks of your covering. Amen. How many thank God for your pastors today? Amen. And I didn't even know. I told them when I came, I said, you got to tell me it's your birthday. I would come prepackaged. Amen. And so, but how many are thankful? Somebody just yell happy birthday one more time for me. Wow. What an awesome man of God. The Bible, you know, they say this. They say, however you receive a man of God determines what you can receive from the man of God. And so the Bible says the Queen of Sheba shall judge you. You know what that means? It means that the Queen of Sheba, anybody know who the Queen of Sheba is? The Queen of Sheba came all the way from Egypt, came into Israel, and came all the way to Israel to honor the greatness that was in Israel, in Solomon, that all of Israel had taken for granted. Because it's possible for you to have greatness in your midst and you not take advantage of the greatness that you're in. That means if you don't acknowledge the greatness that he puts in your midst, he will send somebody from somewhere to acknowledge it. Look at him and say, the Queen of Sheba shall not judge me. Yeah. That means I'm not going to just take their presence for granted. Every moment of my life, I'm going to celebrate and honor and thank God for what he's given me in my pastor. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at him and say, we have an awesome pastor. And pastors, amen. With this one, you can't ignore the wife, amen. Because she's more than a wife. She's a force all by herself. Amen. She is a voice in the earth all by herself, and we acknowledge the gift of God. Amen. And so we thank God for them, their wonderful family, and all of you. Amen. How many came ready to hear from God today? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me while you stand to the book, Gospel According to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25 and verse 26. You better be ready today because we're moving fast. Amen. Today, it's Sunday morning, and I don't want you to burn your lunch. Amen. Whatever you've got in the pot at home, I'm not going to be responsible for it searing up on you or something. Amen. We're going to get you where you need to go, but I came to deliver a package before you get there. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, if you have it, say amen. It reads, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Look at your neighbor and say, are you better than a bird? Yeah. I just want to pay close attention to verse 26. Behold the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, my stuff ain't going to the birds. Yeah. I want you to touch three people around. Just say, my stuff ain't going to the birds. My stuff ain't going to the birds. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Something that I believe is imperative for you to understand about God is this. That real deliverance doesn't come from you knowing about church. Real deliverance comes from you knowing about God. And the problem, we've raised a generation today that knows a lot about church. But real help, real salvation, real change in your life doesn't come from knowing church. Nobody can beat us at church. We're awesome at church. We know how to have church. We know when to stand. We know when to sit. We know when to clap. We even know when to fall out. We're awesome at church. We know who gets juice, who doesn't get juice. Quiet now. We know who's on the willing to do committee. We know all that there is to know about church, but real change doesn't come from knowing church. Real change just comes when you know God. Never confuse the society in which God surrounds himself from the one who sits in the midst of that society. The Bible says, in comparing yourself to others, in so doing, you are unwise. Walking with church is easy because all I have to do to walk with church is just keep step with you and set my paces according to your timing. Because as long as I do what you do, we can do it together in church. But there's a difference between walking in church with church and walking with God. Because when I walk with God, now I can't set my paces according to your time. I have to set my paces according to the paces of God himself. And walking with God is not easy. Anybody who told you that walking with God is easy ain't walking with God. Because it's easy to walk with church because all I got to do is just go home, come to church, go home, go home, come to church, go home, pay my tithes and go home and do what I do, and I'm fine. But that's different than walking with God, because to walk with God, every moment of your life, you got to go, God, where are you? You have to be walking with him every moment of your life and conscious of where he is. And walking with God's not easy, because whenever God starts walking, his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. That means God's steps are bigger than our steps. And it doesn't take you long walking with God before you start feeling like a little boy trying to keep up with his daddy. Because God really comes along and plays one big game of tag with you. Anybody ever play tag? Okay, maybe that's an American game. Tag is this. I come along, I tag you, I say, you're it. And then I run. And the whole idea is that you come chase me down because you want somebody else to be it. And whoever you tag is it. God comes along, tags you, and says, you're it. And then for the rest of your life, intends for you to pursue him and chase him down and follow him. And the thing about walking with God is that God is always on the move. God is always moving. God is always doing. God is always up to something. And the moment you get here, he says, now further. The moment you get at this level, he says, now more. And the moment you say, God, I've arrived, God says, no, there's so much more. He's the God who does exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ever ask or think. That means wherever you are, there's somewhere more that God is wanting to take you to. Touch your neighbor, say, higher heights and deeper depths. That means if you're going to walk with God, you can't get stale, stagnant. You can't get traditional. You can't get locked up in your way, because God is ready to do something new in you every day of your life. The prophet said this. He said this to the prophet. He said, my mercies are new every morning. That means if you get caught up with yesterday's mercy, you're going to miss the mercy I have for you today, because God wants to do something new in your life right now. Touch your neighbor, say, God wants to do something now. So it's the difference between walking with church and walking with God. So you got to come to understand some things about God. Well, one of the things I want you to understand about God today is that God is a seed God. Everything that God ever does, everything that God ever begins in the earth, God always begins it in seed form. Touch your neighbor, say, he's a God of seed. He's so much the God of seed that when he got ready to create all of creation, he spoke the seed of his word in, and whatever he spoke in came out. We touched on that the other night. But when he got ready to create the place of man's purpose, the Garden of Eden, we spoke on this last night, that when he got ready to plant the garden, God didn't speak the garden into existence. Everything else that he created by his word. But the Garden of Eden, the Bible says, and God planted a garden eastward in Eden. That means God literally came down and sowed natural seeds in Eden to create the garden, because everything God ever begins in the earth, he begins it and perpetuates it in seed form. He puts the seed, and then from the seed comes the manifestation of what he wanted to create, because he moves by seed. Touch it up and say, everything starts with a seed. He's so much the God of seed that when he got ready to create the thing called the blessing and the faith came by seed. This thing we call the blessing of God came by seed. He got hold of Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want to start something in the earth. But in order to start the blessing, I want to release a blessing over every nation of the earth. But in order to release the blessing, I have to start it. And I need somebody who I can start it with through a seed. He said, Abraham, come here. And Abraham joins God. And God says, Abraham, as for me, my covenant is with you. He said, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to start it with you. Therefore, we call Abraham the father of the faith. Is because, but God said, I want you to understand something. I want to bring my seed in the earth, but in order for me to do it, I need somebody to do it through. And the Bible let the seed of God pass through the seed of Abraham. I know that when it was not just the seed of Abraham, but the seed of God, because the Bible says that when the seed hit the womb of Sarah, that it quickened. And it is the seed of God that quickeneth, because no man's seed can quicken it. Abraham was past childbearing, past producing seed. Sarah was past childbearing years. But when the seed of Abraham hit the womb of Sarah, it quickened it and made it alive. God said, this is not just your seed, Abraham. This is my seed. Israel is not just your child. It's my child. In fact, he said, the seed of God, look at him. Say, let the seed of God pass through you. The seed of God is so powerful that when it came through Abraham, the Bible says he couldn't produce children before that, but at 95 years old, after the seed came through him, he had 5 more children after he had Isaac. Why? It's because the seed hits the womb. It's the seed of God. Abraham produced. He said, I want you to know Israel's not just your son. That's why Adam is the first created son. Jesus is the only begotten son. But Israel is the firstborn son of God. Because it's not just your seed, it's my seed. Abraham produced the seed. Isaac passed the seed. Jacob multiplied the seed. Are you with me? Joseph moved the seed. Moses delivered the seed. Joshua established the seed. The prophets foretold the seed. The priest atoned for the seed. And Jesus is the seed. And now are you the seed of Abraham? Everything he does and begins, he starts with a seed. His seed is so precious, because if you get God's seed, you get everything. His seed is so precious that he says, I can't just let anybody have my seed. He said, I can only give seed to those that appreciate the greatness of what is in the seed. If they don't appreciate the seed, they'll never appreciate the harvest. And I need someone that knows when I give them a seed, what I put in their hand is that I put them everything they will ever need in their life in the form of a seed. He said, so not everybody can handle the seed. I need somebody who won't waste the seed. He said, I'll give seed to the sower. And bread to the eater. He said, I'm not going to give any seed to anybody who won't treat the seed how it needs to be treated and sow it. And I won't give bread to anybody that will not eat it. God said, my seed is too miraculous to waste it on somebody who won't use it effectively. He said, so I need to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Look at neighbor and say, are you a sower? Mm-hmm. He said, look at this. Watch this. I'm going to give you an illustration. That's the financial plan of God. Watch this. He says, I give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Do you know that comes from one harvest? Here's how you bring balance. He said, I give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That means when I begin to bring a harvest, in that one harvest is seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, the problem with the body of Christ is that we don't understand that when God brings increase in our life, what the purpose of that increase is. And so as a result of it, now we get things out of order. And when you get it out of order, you stop the perpetuation of the blessing in your life. He says, in one harvest, I give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That means in that one harvest is enough seed to sow and enough bread to eat. See, the problem is in the church is that it's not so much that we have a wrong mindset about sowing. It's that we have an improper teaching on eating. The body of Christ has an eating disorder. It's quiet now. You say, what do you mean? That's why when they got ready to take the offering today, there's somebody here that wanted to sow but couldn't. And it's not that there wasn't in their heart to sow. It's just they didn't have anything to sow. And the reason they didn't have anything to sow is not because they've never had a harvest. The reason they didn't have anything to sow is because what the seed that was meant to sow became bread that they ate.
seed to the sower and bread to the eater means this. He means if you don't handle the seed properly, what you'll do is you will eat the seed. You will use the seed that was meant to sow as bread that is meant to eat. And God said, the problem is you want to sow, but the problem is you ate it as bread because you wanted to eat it. You wanted what you needed, and you ate it as bread. And now you want to sow, but there's nothing left to sow because you had to eat the seed that you would have sown because you ran out of bread to eat because you have an eating disorder. You do not know how to stop your consumption. When I bring an increase in your life, all of a sudden now you think that is the license to go buy the car. And meanwhile, I've told you to start a business. But you say, but I need transportation. Yeah, but the business, I gave you enough seed to start the business, but you took the... Why? It's because he's a seed. He's a God who says, I will give you seed to sow, and I'm not going in that harvest. I'm not going to let you sow the seed and still not give you enough bread to eat. I will sustain you. Watch this. Look at him and say, it's in the seed. It's in the seed. It's in the seed. If you get the seed, you get everything. The seed is so powerful. The seed is so powerful. He gives. I says, I give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I'm hurrying. You with me? 20 minutes. You going to do this with me? We're going to get this done today. He says, I give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He said, my seed is so powerful. He told Abraham, through thy seed, all nations shall be blessed. See, there's things that God is going to do through you that's not going to happen in you. There's things that are going to happen through you that are not going to happen and for you that are not going to happen just in you. See, when God blessed Abraham, he didn't say, Abraham, through you all nations will be blessed. But he said, through thy seed all nations shall be blessed. Because God's going to do some things for you and through you that he didn't do in you. And if you don't let him do it through you, then you're never going to see it come from you. That means God is wanting to know you to know there's some promises he gave you that only get produced not in you, but out of the seed that comes out of you. Through thy seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Look up, Abraham. What do you see? I see the stars of the heavens. So shall thy seed be. Look down, Abraham. What do you see? I see the sands of the earth. So shall thy seed be. The stars of the heavens representing Israel. The sand of the earth representing Israel. Your natural seed, your earthly seed, but the stars of the heavens representing the church that will come later on and be engrafted in by the blood of Jesus and be made to sit together with you in heavenly places. The sands of the earth represent Israel. The stars of the heavens represent the blood-washed church of the living God, who are all the seed of Abraham. Through thy seed, all nations will be blessed. Touch your neighbor and say, hi, I'm the seed. He says, watch this. He's so much a seed God that he says, everything that I do in you will start with your understanding of what I gave you in a seed. Somebody in this room is frustrated right now because you keep praying for trees and God keeps giving you acorns. And you're frustrated and you say, oak tree, oak tree, oak tree, oak tree, I need oak tree. And all of a sudden God says, acorn, 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 acorn. God, I asked you for a tree and you gave me a handful of nuts. Why do I have acorns? It's because he said the oak tree is in the acorn. And I gave you the tree. I just wanted to give it to you in seed form so that you could participate in your own miracle. How you handle the seed determines how you handle the harvest. And as long as time is, there will be seed time and harvest. But harvest doesn't show up without a seed. And if you get the seed, you get the harvest. He says, watch this. Every person is in one of three places in this room. Every person in this room is either in not enough, just enough, or more than enough. every person in this room, you either don't have enough, or you have just enough, or more than enough. Not enough is Egypt. Because in Egypt, we don't have enough. In Egypt, we're eating garlic, we're eating cloves, we're eating onions, we're eating the scraps that are left over from Egypt because we're in slavery and we don't have enough. And everybody in this room at some point in your life probably has been in a not enough situation. Has anybody ever had not enough? Oh, look, nobody wants to raise their hand. Not enough means no matter what I get, it's never enough. See, not enough is not about what you have. It's about what you can handle. You can get somebody who's in not enough. It's not about what you have in your hand. It's about what you have in your spirit and in your mind. Because before you become prosperous in your life, you have to become prosperous in your soul. That's why he said in John, 1 John, he said, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. That means until you have a prosperous spirit and a prosperous mind, you cannot have a prosperous life. That's why you can't thank survival and live successfully. It's because survival can't come into your success. He said, watch this. He said, not enough. That's Egypt. And all of a sudden, you don't have enough. You can give somebody that's in not enough a check for $100,000 at the beginning of the month, and they will be broke by the end of the month. It's because it's not about what they get, it's about what they can handle. Not enough. But God sends a deliverer, Moses, and brings you and sends a word to you, and it brings you out of not enough. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm coming out of not enough. Yeah, that ain't my portion. I ain't living there no more. I'm coming out of not enough. All of a sudden, you come out of not enough, and now you're in the wilderness called just enough. Egypt is not enough. The wilderness is just enough. Why is the wilderness just enough? Is because in the wilderness, we have manna. And manna is more than not enough, but it's not more than enough. The Bible says that God would rain down manna every morning, every day, that when Israel woke up, they would walk out their tent door and there would be enough bread for them to make today. That's why the prayer comes, give us this day our daily bread, is because it comes from Israel that says God will always give you enough to sustain you today. And so, but there's something about the manna. The manna, when it came, was only enough and sufficient for that day. The Bible says that if you tried to store up the manna, that in the evening hour, in the night, it would spoil, because it wasn't meant to give you enough for tomorrow. It was only enough for today. Living in just enough of the wilderness is when you're making it from week to week, from month to month. You're getting by, but you're just getting by. And it's not just about your finances. It's about your marriage. It's about your family. It's about your emotions, where you have just enough strength to make it through the end of the day. I don't want just enough strength to make it through the end of the day. Where in your marriage, you're married, but just married. Oh, I won't even touch it. Oh, maybe I will. I don't have time, but I'm going to do it. Before you got married, every time you saw her, you had something in your hand for her. Every time you saw her, before y'all got married, you couldn't even wait to end of work to call each other. You were calling each other at lunch break. You were calling each other having to go in the bathroom at work and hide from coworkers just so you could make the, hey, bae. What's going on, sugar baby, baby? Is daddy coming home? Daddy coming home? Oh, yeah, baby. I miss you too, boo. Couldn't even make it through the day without hearing that voice. Your voice, it just does something to me. Like when you first got married, I mean, you were rushing home every day. Daddy coming home, baby. Daddy coming home, baby. And every time you saw her, you couldn't wait. You had something in her hand, some kind of flower, some kind of can. It didn't matter if you had to go by the cemetery and rob some flowers from the cemetery. You gonna bring her. I got this for you. Then why does it say in condolences? Why does it say in sympathy? Why? My name is not sympathy. And all those, You're like, oh, I can't wait to see you, baby. I love just being everywhere. That was when you first got. Now all of a sudden you come home. You go three times around the block before you go in. You get in, kick the door open, say, where's my chicken pot pie? You sit down at ESPN, lazy boy. And when she brings you your dinner, you go, oh, I love you. And that I love you is supposed to keep her. That I love you is supposed to say, oh, you can't go nowhere. You're married, but just married. I won't even touch the ladies. Oh, maybe I will. Let me just say, you give him just enough so he don't find it somewhere else. Whoa. Ah, hallelujah. My plane is ready today. Just enough. Used to be a house, used to be a haven of love, overflowing. Haven of rest and refuge. Now you're just married. Just enough. But touch your neighbor, say, I'm coming out of just enough. I'm not settling until I go across the Jordan. I'm not settling until I go from I'm not living in not enough. I'm not staying in the wilderness of just enough. I'm tired of surviving. I'm talking to somebody, not just your marriage, not just your finances, but your strength, your energy, your peace. I don't want just enough peace in order to not want to kill myself. I don't want just enough strength so I can barely make it through my day and collapse at the end of the day. I want strength that is overflowing. Look at them and say, I'm going for more than enough. Oh, hit your neighbor and say, I'm going for more than enough. I will not. He's not the God of just enough. He is El Shaddai. He is more than sufficient. I serve Jehovah Jireh. He said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life, but not just life. I want everything in your life to be in abundance and overflowing. He told them, he said, if I open the windows of heaven and pour you out one blessing, a blessing. It doesn't say many blessings. He said, if I pour you out a blessing, there is no room in you to receive. I came to declare God's about to overflow your life. God's about to flood you with more than enough. But how do I get there? How do I break into more than enough? Our text tells us how to do it. You ready? He says, consider the birds of the air. Consider the birds of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He said, watch this. Before he says that, he says, when you enter into more than enough, you won't have to take any thought for what you're going to eat. You won't have to take a thought for what you're going to drink. You'll quit worshiping your clothes. You can always tell somebody who's in just enough. You want to know? Hand them a baby in church. Yeah. The baby is a litmus test. Because if they're in just enough, when they hand the baby, they hold it like this. They said, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I don't want the baby to spit on my shoe. This is Gucci. I can't. No. You don't understand. Dolce. This is Dolce Gabbana. I can't. No. You don't understand. I got this in Paris. I cannot handle this dang thing. No. This is Paris design. You don't understand. I can't have the baby just spitting up on it. Do you know what this cost? That's just enough. You can tell when they're in more than enough. When there are more enough to say, come here, give me the baby. And they say, what about your suit? You that thing's worth $3,000. Yeah, I know where I got it. When I got this suit, there was one just like it next to it. They didn't run out. That means if the baby spits on this and destroys it, I know how to get in a plane and go get me another one. I'm not. Oh! Look at it, say, I'm ready for more than enough. Oh yeah, you can tell here's how you tell with a guy. You can tell it in their car. When they make you wipe your feet off before you get in the car. Ooh. somebody that you can always tell them when they've never had anything and now they got one thing, because they treat the one thing like it's Jesus. But when you have more than enough, you know it's just a thing. They can never say, I'm ready for more than enough. Well, how do I operate in it? Watch this. He said, when you enter in more enough, you're going to wonder where your next meal's coming from. When you enter in the more than enough, you're not going to have to even think a thought about what I'm wearing. What I got on. I will take this suit. I will put it in the floor. I will march all over it. Why? It's because I don't worship this jacket. It may have cost $2,000, but it means nothing to me. Yeah, I serve the God who owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I serve a God who's not lacking for anything. I serve a God who all the earth is his and the fullness thereof. I serve a God who's not lacking for one thing. And wherever he got that thing, there's another thing waiting for me. He says, watch this. You won't take any thought for what you eat, drink, or the body for raiment, what you put on. He said, consider the birds of the air. He said, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. See, whenever I heard this before, I always heard it in a positive way. Wherever I heard a preacher preach this, and they sing songs about it, I heard a preacher say, oh, consider the birds. Yeah. You know, if God's eye is on the sparrow, you know he watches the birds, and not one bird falls without God knowing that it's fallen. Yeah. And if God's eye is on the sparrow, I know, you know, he watches you. And somebody's singing, his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches. It made everybody leave church going, I want to be a bird. Why can't I be a bird? God watches the birds. He cares for the birds. Until I started thinking about the life of a bird. I don't want to be a bird. He asked the question. He said, are you better than them? Ooh. He said, are you living the bird life? I thought about it. I said, God, I don't want to be a bird. What do you mean? I said, He said, look at how a bird lives. A bird wakes up every morning in survival mode. You don't think so? Try walking up on one. No, I'm not talking about Polly in your cage at home. What? Hi, Polly. Uh-huh. No, I'm talking about that joker in your backyard. Go ahead and say, oh, look at the pretty bird. Go run to it. Say hi. You'll get from here to the corner of the room, and that bird goes, I'm out. It's why? It's because you might eat me. It's because a bird thinks everything's after it. Oh, Lord. A bird is just in a perpetual state of fear. Everything's after me. Pastor, pray for me, because the devil's trying to interfere with my day. I just wanted to call you. I know it's 3 in the morning and you're trying to sleep. I just can't sleep tonight. Oh, great. So I can't sleep either now. So let's pray. I saw something come in my room. What was it? No. I was in the shower. I turned and I saw a shadow. Yeah, it was your shadow. But the devil is after me. Newsflash, the devil is after all of us. Newsflash, you didn't have to come from the west coast of Africa for the devil to be somewhere behind you. Oh, it's quiet now. You act like you're the only one that ever had a demon. You act like the devil. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh God, I'm not living out of fear. I don't live on the defensive. I don't live every day praying, God protect me, God protect me, God protect me, God protect me, God protect me. No, I walk in him. If I walk in him, he is my fence. He is my hedge. He is my protector. He is my shield and my buckler. He is my strong tower and my refuge. Of whom shall I be? Look at him and say, what are you scared of? What are you scared of? You scared of? What are you scared of? You give more credit to the devil than you do God. You spend more time praying about what the devil's done in your life than you spend about what God's doing in your life. Let God arise and his enemies will scatter. You don't have to pray against your enemy. Just get God to stand up in your life. He will shield you. He will protect you. He will cover you. Look at him and say, fear dies today. Fear dies today. And listen to me, don't you ever go to a ministry that perpetuates your fears. Don't you ever go to a ministry that uses your fear as a tool in order to manipulate you, to get you afraid of your family, to get you afraid of your own wife. Who are you? Who are you, preacher? Who are you to tell me that my problem is my wife? What God joined together, let no man put asunder. No, don't go to no ministry that puts fear so much in your life just because they want to separate you from everything in your life so that you are easily isolated. I go to churches that are run like jungles. In the jungle, the lion knows the gazelle that's in the herd is hard to get. But the gazelle that's isolated is easy prey. So my first tool is to make you question everything that's around you so that now there's nothing around you but me. Until now, you're dependent on me because I'm the one that saved you from them. The devil is a liar. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and power and soundness of mind. I don't care if you got 20 witches in your family. That's why God put you in the family. It's because, Why? It's because, do you think the witch is beyond redemption? You used to operate in it too, and you're saved now. Thank God nobody prayed that prayer back then for you to die. Thank God you're alive. That means if you have 20 witches in your family, it's because God put you in the family that they once were in witchcraft, but now they are the redeemed of the blood washed, because I will bring the light into the darkness. He said, watch this. It's my last night, so I got to get to you. Last day. Watch it. More than enough. Watch this. More than enough. A bird's fearful. A bird constantly doesn't know where its next meal's coming from. A bird wakes up every morning hungry. A bird wakes up every morning, goes down. Oh, I got to get some crumbs. You know what they say? Put some crackers out in your yard. They will be gone by the afternoon. Because they're thinking everything. Give me a worm over here. Survival. Not only that, I don't want a bird's house. A bird lives in a makeshift nest out of anything they can find. Hey, some straw, somebody's weave, some Oh, it makes a great nest. It makes a great nest. It's unbelievable. It's rainproof, baby. And all of a sudden, I don't want a bird's house. I don't want a bird's life. Are you tired of living like a bird? Aren't you better than a bird? Well, if I want to do better than a bird does, how do I do better than a bird does? Because if you do what a bird does, you'll have what a bird has. How many want more than what a bird has? How many want more than enough of everything in your life? Not just money, but peace, joy, fulfillment in every area. So how? Well, if you do what a bird does, you'll get what a bird has. Well, how do I get more than a bird has? Then you do more than a bird does. Well, what does he say a bird does to get a bird's life? He said, consider the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. You know what barns represent? Barns represent more than. Nobody builds a barn for just enough. Because when all you've got is enough for you and your family, you don't need a barn. Because we're eating everything tonight we have. But when you've gathered a harvest that's more than you can consume, now I gotta find a place to put all of it's more than enough. I gotta build me a barn. Look at your neighbor and say, you about to have a barn. You about to have a storehouse. You about to have somewhere to put all the overflow, all the abundance. Look at him say, I'm about to build a barn. I'm about to build a barn. I'm about to build a barn. He said, woo! Look at them say, in my house, we about to be barn building, baby. We about to find a place for more than enough, because just enough ain't our portion no more. We about to do what it takes to build a barn. Well, why doesn't a bird need a barn? It's because they never have more than enough. Why doesn't a bird ever have more than enough? It's because a bird never has a harvest. They never reap. Why don't they ever reap? It's because they never sow. Consider the birds, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in. How do you expect to have bounty when you haven't had a harvest? And how do you expect to have a harvest that is without a seed? Lift your hands, stand with me all over this room. Lift your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. I want to pray something. Grab somebody, look them in the eye right now, and say, you're better than a bird. Now turn to the other side and say, neighbor, my stuff from this day forward ain't going to the birds. I'm done with the bird life. I'm done living week to week and day to day and month to month. I'm done surviving. I'm done having to call my relatives to ask them for money. I'm done saying, can you help me float my light bill this week? Like my check comes next week, I'll make sure I get it back to you. And suddenly I'm having to pay, rob Peter, pay Paul, get Paul and give it back to Peter. Paycheck to paycheck. Forget finances. I'm tired of my marriage being to where we sit in the car for hours and never say a word. I'm tired of cohabitating with somebody I used to love. I'm tired of my family being a place where we tolerate each other and don't celebrate each other. I'm ready for more than enough. I'm ready for more than enough. If that's you, lift your hands all over this room. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want the God who does abundantly and exceedingly. Because what can I do? He says, I'll give you the power to get wealth that you may establish a covenant. God's not into giving you more than enough just for you. God wants to give you more than enough so you can bless somebody else. You say, I want to be a blessing. With what? If you only have enough to survive, how can you bless somebody when you can't take care of yourself in order to help take care of someone else? But more. I'm done. Lift your hands. Here's what I felt in my spirit, and I didn't ask the pastor this before, so don't blame him for this. But the Lord spoke in my spirit before we leave out of here and before I left. For God wants to see how you handle his seed. And there's people in this room, that's why the enemy lets you get hurt by church. That's why he lets you get hurt by all those churches and ministries that like took advantage of people financially and raked them financially. It's because he wanted to get you so offended that you never handled the seed the way you should ever again. Until we got our preachers intimidated about any offering. Until we got to like just quickly get past the offering so we can go home. And meanwhile, the enemy's robbing people and stealing. Because we won't teach them anymore about the principles that bring you into the abundance of. He has a plan to bring you into an abundant life. And before I leave, the last thing God spoke to me, he said, I want you to challenge every person in this room that's able to. I'm not going to give you a number of what you should sow outside of what he put in my spirit. He said this. He said, I want them to, as many as can, to give something over 100. Doesn't matter what. It could be $100.01. He said, the reason I want them to give over 100 is because I want them to trust me. See, 100 represents fulfillment. But I want them to trust me that I'm more than fulfilling. I'm overflowing. That I will bless them beyond 100-fold. I will bless them until they overflow. I want them to trust me in their marriage, their home. This is not just about sowing, finances will come back. This is about emotionally, spiritually. So while you're standing right where you are, and we don't need ushers, because we're going to bring this to the altar today. Is that okay, Pastor? If you need an envelope, I want you just to lift your hands. This is the last thing I'm going to do. Lift your hands right now. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. You need an envelope? Yep. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. As many that are here, I want you to sow something above 100. You say, Bishop, I don't have 100. I want you to sow what you have. But for those that God's speaking to, that says, I want more than sufficiency. I want more than survival. I want more than just enough. In areas of my life that have been lacking, I'm believing God for more than abundance. I want you to get an offering in your hand. If you're paying by online, then just lift your phone in the air. But I want every person in this room to bring something and touch this altar with it. Because there's an overflow about to happen. Your dry season is over. Your Egypt season is over. Your wilderness struggle of making it is over. It's time for joy, but not just joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It's time for peace, but not just peace, peace that passes all understanding. Overflow. Lift it to God right now. I want to pray one prayer and I'm getting down from this pulpit. Lift your phone, lift your envelope, lift something, lift it. Stand with me all over this. Get something in your hand. And just lift it. If it's not prepared yet, just lift your hand. Just lift it. Lift it. Lift something. In the name of Jesus, I declare over every life in this room that this is the season of their abundance. That this is the due season of God. You said, do not grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. We declare right now, God, we're going to do more than what a bird does, because we will have more than a bird has. We are not living, surviving. We are walking into good success. We are walking into fulfillment in our relationships, in our home, in our marriage, with our children, in our mind, in our emotions, in our money, in every way. I declare more and more than enough. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you believe it, as pastor comes, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. As pastor comes to the pulpit, just bring your offering and touch it. Touch the altar as he comes. Just come, just come, just bring it as you prepare it. As it's ready, just touch it.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.